Welcome to another episode of We Don't Die. I'm your host, Sandra Champlain, author of the international best-selling book called We Don't Die, A Skeptic's Discovery of Life After Death. And just a reminder, my home base is wedontdie.com, where you can find all episodes of this show, my second podcast, which is on iHeartRadio, which is called Shades of the Afterlife. I'm a reporter in on the afterlife there. Between the two shows is over 600 episodes. Yes, I said that right. 600 hours of episodes. So I am somebody who's been committed to get really good afterlife evidence for just over 26 years now, and then share it as far as I can. This show turns 10 years old in a couple of months. So I've been on this ride a long time, and I'll do the very best I can for you. So everything's at wedontdie.com. And today is no different. Today, you're going to meet Amber Kasich, who's an evidential medium, author, speaker, former longtime classroom teacher, and U.S. Department of Education Fulbright participant. After a shared death experience with her father in 2020, she began a journey of discovery and connection with our greater reality, guided by her dad in spirit. She shares her journey and stories in the book, Life Reimagined, Women's Stories of Hope, Resilience, and Transformation. Amber passionately inspires others to explore what is possible in our lives, as love is limitless, and we are so much more than just being human. She says it's nature's way. So you can find her website at naturswayopen.com. Amber Kasich, welcome to We Don't Die Radio.
Thank you so much. So happy to be here with you today and having this lovely conversation.
Oh, I'm happy to be with you too. I've heard so many good things about you. And when I heard your story about your dad, it's just like, we need to share that on this show. It was my dad who got me into this, and all around his passing. So a different kind of story, but our dads are so sacred to us. So if you wouldn't mind first, before we get into that, tell us a little bit about you, where you live maybe, and yeah, a little bit about your past and about your work experience, and then we can get into dad.
Sure. Well, it's nice to be with you all today. Again, my name is Amber Kasich. I live in Michigan, and I definitely never expected to call myself an evidential medium. And that was a journey in and of itself. I spent 15 years as a classroom teacher, have always been really passionate about thinking of the world in global ways and what does it mean to be a human on this planet among each culture and a member that participates in that culture. I taught Spanish actually for 15 years, and I worked with kids that were learning English as a second language. So language acquisition is kind of a passion of mine. And in 2020, when my dad passed away, I think that just expanded. I think as a soul, I came into this world enjoying being a bridge among people. But for me, that showed up as being a bridge among cultures and understanding each other and so on and so forth. And now that has expanded to being a bridge from this world to the next.
Tell us about dad, because I know he was ill for a while. But if you want to just share about you and your dad.
Yeah.
Maybe prior to him getting ill.
And sure, absolutely. Yeah. Well, my dad... Gosh, if my dad, to sum up my dad well, if he was a police officer in life, if he could have done something else, he would have liked to have been a cowboy. So that might paint a picture for you. He was an avid outdoorsman, hunter, fisherman, loved animals, had such a sweet spot for animals. One of my favorite memories of him is seeing the trail literally of neighborhood dogs that would follow him on the long walks behind her home. And that is just one of my most fond memories of my dad. He was also really funny. I am not funny. My dad was really funny. So that was a trait I did not inherit. And extremely courageous, physically courageous, I would say. Also a trait I did not inherit. But I like to say that because we still learn from each other. And I've always had great courage of the heart. And so I think my dad and I, in that way, yeah, we still learn from each other. He's been helping me learn how to bring that courage to the world and not shy away from sharing all of this, being in this conversation with you today. It's been a long road for me, really, of courage, even in getting where I am.
Definitely. I know all about the fear of sharing, but there comes a tipping point where you just absolutely had to. What happened with his health and his passing?
Yeah, during COVID, my dad had terminal cancer. And so we knew he was going to pass away. And really for me, that probably actually began this journey that I didn't know I had signed up for. So when I look back on things, I kind of understand that there were things happening that I started doing that probably were spiritual nudges. I just didn't understand that I was already having this, I might say, developing this relationship with the other side, if you will. And so the last few months of our relationship was really beautiful. Because while my dad and I had a very nice relationship, there were also some things that were left unsaid and at times were a complicated father-daughter relationship and allowed me some opportunities to forgive without having explicit conversations about that. We just had some other really nice moments, including just a couple of days before he passed, kind of in the middle of the night. 2 a.m, he woke up and had a moment of lucidity. And my dad he knew he was going to pass away, but didn't want to talk about it. It wasn't something he wanted to talk about at all. And so I, though, really wanted to have a conversation with my dad about it. And I wanted to ask him for a sign. I had wanted to do that so badly, but was afraid to. And about a week before he passed, or 2 weeks before, I sent him an email and said, "Hey, Dad, do you think you could have a sign?" And he never wrote me back. I believe he never wrote me back because he was afraid to disappoint me. So many of us wonder what really is going to occur when we no longer have this physical body. But at that 2 a.m. little chat, I said, "Hey, Dad, you never wrote me back." And he knew exactly what I was talking about. And he kind of made a joke and he said, "Well, I better get right on that then," which clearly was not going to happen. And so I asked him, "What do you think, Dad? Do you think you could have a sign?" And so I made a couple suggestions. And, you know, he was going in and out of consciousness a little bit. So I didn't really feel any of my suggestions he was either approving of, or we didn't have that solid, "Yes, this is it." And so finally I said, "Well, how about a deer in my walking bath?" My dad opened his eyes and looked directly at me and said, "Everything will be near. You'll know in the eyes." And I was so grateful for having listened to my heart's nudge to ask for that sign, because that's actually what happened the very night that he passed away. It was a really, really beautiful moment. And I really felt that he was reaching out to let me know he was well. But our actual shared death moment, I didn't even know that was a term, a shared death experience, actually until about a year after it happened, when I discovered that term upon reading a book. But a few hours before he passed away, I was holding his hand. He was completely unconscious for days at that point. And I was just sort of in this place of immense, I call it thinking pain. Because I was thinking about how, you know, he wasn't going to be a grandfather for my son, like all those things. He's not going to be here. I've already had my last conversation with him, all that kind of stuff. And in that place of immense pain, I think all I could really do to escape that, not even by choice, was just really become fully present. Because if I'm becoming fully present, and just focusing on love, that unconditional love, then I kind of automatically stop focusing on all these thoughts that I'm having. And in that place of pure presence, and while holding my dad's hand, I suddenly saw hues of purple kind of swirling in my mind's vision. And I just thought, oh, that's interesting. Didn't really think anything of it. But then I felt a warmth encompass me from head to toe. And I remember thinking, oh, the sun must be coming in from the window and kind of playing tricks on me. I was holding my dad's hand and laying alongside him in the hospice bed. But then with absolute full clarity, and these aren't words I had ever used before, I felt an energy enter my back. It felt like a whoosh really coming into my body. And then there was this circular pattern. It was just moving around my heart center. And again, that was not a word I ever used before, but that was the only way I had to describe what I was feeling. It was like the small circular motion. And it was such a new experience. I had no opportunity even to think about it, judge it, decide what it was, because all I could do was be in the present moment and experience that. And from my heart, it moved to my shoulder. And then it moved, almost feeling like a little lightning bug on the inside of my body. It went down my arm real slowly and into my hand. I was holding my dad's hand. And then I just knew with total certainty, like knowing the sky is blue, that feeling went into my dad as it was a part of him. I just knew it. And I gave him a hug and I said, I don't know what that was, Dad, but I know you felt it too. And you take all that love and light in your core with you and leave the old news behind. Love and light. Also words I didn't really go around using before all of this stuff. And I just gave him a big hug. And in that moment, he couldn't respond. You know, there were no emotions or voice recognition, anything of the kind. But it's like somehow I just knew that he was a part of that experience. And I knew we were eternally bonded. I had no idea what that meant. I had no context. Again, I didn't go on and thinking about what does that mean? I just knew. And I actually was joyful. I was joyful. It's like I was no longer, in a way, sad about his passing. And he passed just 12 hours after that.
Sending you lots of love. I know I was with my dad when he passed too, and it's tough. It really is. I wish I had had some otherworldly experience, but so many of us don't. So we just really have to trust that that's happening, even if we can't feel it. Mm-hmm. You making that choice, though, to be fully in the present moment, do you have a sneaky suspicion that that would have happened if you're busy checking text messages and thinking other thoughts?
Such a great question. I've thought about that myself so many times, and I kind of think it's a yes and a no. I do feel that, because in mediumship, this is how it is as well. I have to be fully present and I have to almost sort of leave the story of me and my thoughts and all of that off to the side in order to be in a space where I can sense love that is beyond my physicalness, or sense in the case of mediumship, you know, communications and perceptions and other things. And I think in that moment that being fully present allowed me to enter into a space of awareness. And in that awareness, I was able to recognize the gift of grace that was being granted to me. Because it really, to me, was a gift of grace. Yeah.
Wow. I agree. I think the present moment is the way to connect with just about everything. Great playwrights and musicians and artists. It's that moment. It's being in that presence. And we often can say, oh, we were in the zone. And that's where it is. So I applaud you for having that control and just being present, because being in a mind with, you know, it even before someone passes, you can feel, well, it's called anticipatory grief. You go through a grieving process, even though they haven't passed yet. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because I know so many people say, how was the grief for you? And everybody's experience is different. But when you have somebody, same with my dad who had cancer, I mean, there's a whole heck of a lot of grief that happens before, during, after.
Totally. I definitely grieved before my dad's passing, probably for about a year of real grief. And why I would share this, and I think maybe a lesson or something to think about for all the listeners, is that, and again, this is just in reflection, looking back. In my grief, what I was also really trying to do was control the amount of suffering that might ensue. Because I knew my dad was, you know, had cancer. There can be so much anxiety about what that is going to look like at the end of life, how that will go about, how am I going to handle that? And it was a source of great anxiety for me, so much so that I found myself up until 2 and 3 in the morning, reading everything I could about the science of dying and the death process. Horoscopes and astrology wasn't something that I really was drawn to at all. But I found myself really out of desperation, I would say, in those moments, reading horoscopes to try to find out when exactly is my dad going to die, because I was trying to be prepared in a controlling way for something that, like birth, in a way, is its own process and cannot be controlled. Just can't be controlled. And what I would share is that while anyone that's going to enter in that process cannot know exactly what that end of life is going to be like and what they're going to experience, there is one thing we can control, and that is love. How we love that person through that process, a choice to just show up and be love for that person, express the things you want to express, that's what we can control. And no matter what happens at that time, after that time, no one ever regrets showing up as love for love. No one. And so that would be, I think, a takeaway for others, possibly from my own experience.
Beautiful way to say it. I know someone once told me that looking back on our life, we handled everything, and we've handled some really awful things. And we've all dealt with some terrible things, but we just know. And so to not spend the time anticipating and trying to plan it all out, but just to trust that our future self will be able to handle it because we've made it this far. And I love what you say about just loving, and you're not going to have any regrets. So after Dad passed, tell us about the deer. Tell us about the sign and what then happened.
Sure. Well, first I will say that just 5 hours after he passed away, I went for a walk at a park, more than anything, just to decompress from the week, because I was with my parents really 24/7 for a whole week up to his actual passing. And so I was still carrying around with me that sense of internal bond and even joy in a way, as odd as that sounds. But that didn't mean there was no grief. And there was definitely mental exhaustion and emotional exhaustion. And so I sat in the parking lot at the park, and finally I just let those tears flow from all of that. And as I was doing that, I heard my dad's voice in my mind, his actual voice. And it said, "Get out of the car, honey. You've cried enough tears over me in your life." And I thought to myself, well, that's true. I have cried enough tears over my dad in my life. But what was that? Oh, okay. I must just be, my mind's making that up. I got out of the car and that got me walking. And as I was walking, I was thinking about, of course, my dad, but I was also thinking about my own beliefs about the afterlife, how, you know, I've always had a faith that there is a love and a higher consciousness that is so much bigger than we can imagine. But I, at that point in my life, in that moment, I didn't really have this very narrowed down focus of exactly what I think this all is. I was more open. And I just, and because of that, I think I was in a way a little worried. You know, what's happening for him now? And is he okay? And is everything fine? And I said to myself, I hope you're all right, Dad. Just saying that to myself. But without a moment hesitation, his voice was there again. And it said, I'm just fine, Amby. That's what he called me. I'm going to stick around here a while and help some people. And I'm happy about it. And I stopped walking. Because in that moment, I thought to myself, I is Amber. If I were making this up with my mind, that is not what I would have said. Amber would have made up, heaven's so beautiful, and I'm with my granddad again, and our dogs are here, and they love you, and everything's wonderful, something like that. That's what I would have made up. I would have never come up with, I'm going to stick around here a while and help some people, and I'm happy about it. And my next thought was, who would he be helping? I didn't even think that it was me. And that tells you and tells me later about the nature also of the beauty of the healing relationship that I was about to enter in with my dad. Because there was a lot that there were times in our life and things that we didn't talk about and were very painful for me. And there was healing to be done. And again, what a gift of grace. It was just beautiful.
You said that he was going to help some people, and one of those people is you. How did that unfold? Did you continue to hear his voice? Did you get signs?
Yes. So in those two instances, I heard his voice. It would be a little while again before I would hear his voice. But then I think it began like many of us where I started seeing signs and going back to that deer that evening. So the night of his passing, my husband and I went for another walk. I hadn't seen him for a week. And so I wanted to just decompress with him and tell him all of the things that had occurred. And if you remember, I had mentioned when I was having that 2 a.m. conversation with my dad that I mentioned a couple of things and he just wasn't really giving me a response back. So I didn't know if he wasn't hearing me. One of those was, you know, how about a real strong wind out of absolutely nowhere, Dad? And then I said, how about a random dog that just comes up to me? And again, out of nowhere. So my dad and I both really love animals. And none of those he had responded to except for the deer. When he said, everything will be near, you'll know in the eyes. And so while we were walking in this park, all of a sudden it got crazy windy. Now, of course, it wasn't just a moment, you know, it was becoming a really windy evening. It was right around dusk, but I thought, oh, that's interesting. But, you know, it's just wind. Okay. But then here comes this black lab. My dad loved labs. No owner, no collar, no leash. And this dog comes running up to us. He's barking at us. We're in a very wooded park. And the dog runs off, but turns around and is barking at us, truly almost like he's wanting us to follow in. And my husband this time was like very not woo-woo, signs aren't a thing, you know, very right brain thinking. And even he was like, it's like that dog wants us to follow him. And so we did. And in the midst of this moment, I'm telling him the story of that 2 a.m. conversation. Do you know where that dog went and continued to pause and stop and bark at us? The cemetery. The dog went from this park to the cemetery. So he crosses the street, runs in the cemetery. And at this point, we're just thinking to ourselves, you know, well, we'd want to help someone find their dog. So let's go figure out what we can do. So we went into the cemetery. And at that point, we stopped, got our car, drove it over to the cemetery parking lot. And then we see the dog off in the distance. We open the door, the dog just comes barreling from across the cemetery and just hops in our car like he knows us. And he had no collar, but there's really only a handful of houses in the perimeter of that park. And so we just kind of went house to house and we did find the owner of that dog. And as we were leaving the driveway, we turn a corner and there in the middle of the road, just after dusk as it's getting dark, is a young buck. And you would think, here comes this van with its headlights, you would think that a young buck would, you know, kind of take off. It just stood in the middle of the road. And as we got real close to it, it casually walked to the side. I pulled my husband, we pulled right up to it, and I was only 6 feet from this buck. The window's down. I'm bawling at this point. I'm telling my dad, thank you so much. I just needed to know he was well. And okay, I'm going to get teary-eyed just talking about it. And the buck just stood there staring at me. And I was staring at him and I'm bawling and telling, you're so beautiful. And thank you, Dad. And I go back to that, everything will be near. You'll know in the eyes. Wind, the random dog, this buck, the deer, all within a 10-minute time frame. While I'm telling my husband this story of that 2 a.m. conversation that I was so thankful to myself for choosing to have. Again, what a gift of grace. But this is important for me to say, really important. It's not because I'm so special. It's because we're all that special. This love is that special. The signs show up for us in the way that they're meant to. And I know the reason that I repeatedly got such, I would call, there is no possible other explanation beyond coincidence or mind-blowing signs, is because I was meant to be here with you today. I meant to be, my dad said, I'm going to stick around here and help some people. Yes, that was me, but it's also those that choose to enter in a mediumship session with me. I signed up for this in some way at the soul level. It just wasn't meant to be aware to me until this point in my life. And I wouldn't have believed that this truly could be this beautiful for all of us unless I had those mind-blowing moments that kept me going on this breadcrumb journey of growing in my belief about who we really are, what this love is really all about, and the power that it has to bring hope and joy, healing, apologies, sunshine, for lack of a better word, to all of our lives and humanity.
Incredible. Dad passed in 2020, and we're only in 2024, and you've come a long way. What had happened that you said, I've got to find out more about this. I need to help other people believe in this. I'm going to choose mediumship as that avenue.
Yeah. Well, that was a journey in and of itself, of course. And so much of that first year was just about really growing in belief that I was really hearing from my dad. And what started out as signs, you know, turned into other things. And I started to realize we're able to still have a relationship. But like I said, all of this was like spirit, my dad just putting these massive breadcrumbs in front of me that I couldn't help but follow, and they unfolded on their own. And so once I really believed I was having these experiences with my dad that continued, eventually it started to where I was hearing from loved ones of the people around me. So it wasn't me trying to be a medium. It was just happening. That doesn't happen now. Well, I shouldn't say that. It happens once in a while. But again, it's like it had to happen or I wouldn't have gone down this route.
What kind of things started happening?
Yeah, well, it might be that when I was in that state of I'm not asleep, so I'm not dreaming, but I'm almost asleep, all of a sudden I might have a real visitation from a relative, but that relative would tell me things that I couldn't possibly know and then say, reach out to my daughter so-and-so, ask her about X. And so I would, and I would just say, I had a dream about your dad. He was wearing this and he held this thing and does he really own this journal and whatever it might be. And then I would get confirmation. And they were things I couldn't possibly know. And so that was telling me that something else was going on. And then finally, I had a moment where I simply asked, okay, if this is like really a thing, this kind of mediumship, can I hear from someone that is in my realm of friends and my friend wouldn't mind that I might have an experience? And then I just sat in that presence, much like I did when I was with my dad before he passed. And I was so open because I had no expectation of what might occur, which is a really beautiful place to be in when we don't try to expect what's going to happen. We just sit in our raw vulnerability and be open. And in that openness, I felt a presence and I asked, who are you? And I heard, I'll just use the name Kevin for confidentiality, but I heard Kevin's dad. And this particular friend had a biological father who passed when he was 2. And I didn't know this friend until he was well into his adulthood. So I knew nothing about this father other than the career he had in life. That was the only thing I knew about him. And this father showed me a very clear picture of, what do we call those little cuffs that go on a man's shirt? Even showed me the box they were in and what they were sitting on. He mentioned the friendship that I had with my friend and how beautiful it was. And then he said, don't forget Sunny. And I heard this in his actual voice. And I say that because it was just a voice I had never heard before. And I knew it was his voice. Don't forget Sunny. And I knew that was S-O-N-N-Y. I somehow just knew that, not Sunny like Sunny outside. So I called my friend and I told him what happened. And yes, he has these cuffs. He wore them to his wedding. He gave me a picture. They were his dad's. And then this is the real beautiful part. He has a cousin, his dad's brother's son, who he hadn't seen in 10 to 15 years. And his name is Sunny. So don't forget Sunny. How interesting. 2 days later, he received a card in the mail from Sunny, who he hasn't heard of or from, I should say, in 10 to 15 years. And in that card, Sunny had decided to include a picture of his dad with a little fond memory about his dad. And it was just a nice note of, we haven't talked in so long, we should really get together. And that's when I knew, this is real. And this ability to connect with others for the sake of love in healing is real. And to bring a fun moment to this, when my friend's dad was leaving our connection, if you will, in my mind's eye, he reached out his hand to like shake it as if to meet me for an introduction. And he said, and he kind of laughed with a little, almost like a twinkle in his eye. I heard a laugh and he said, it's nice to finally meet you. So here I have this person who I've never met in my life, died before I was born, reaching his hand out to introduce himself to me and saying, it's so nice to finally meet you. Because he's with his son, even though he's on the other side, he knows what's happening in his son's life. And he has appreciation for our friendship and wanted to express that. What a beautiful moment. And for me, unreal. You know, it was this unreal moment. And so that's when I kind of knew there's something happening here for me. And the very next day, my mom, who knew nothing about what was going on, I was afraid to tell her, sent me a random course that she saw given by Suzanne Giesman, who probably many of your listeners know, who was about to start a course the next day called Soul to Soul Communication. And she said, I don't know why, my mom, but for some reason, I feel like you would think this was interesting. And I watched that 1 hour kind of webinar that Suzanne gave. And I thought to myself, this is what I need. And it wasn't because I was trying to become a medium. It's because I was trying to understand what in the heck was happening to me.
Oh, incredible. Yes, we know Suzanne. I've interviewed her a few times now. I just want to applaud you for not being one of the mediums. And if you're a medium watching this, my apologies, but there's some that the ego's a little too inflated. The price is outrageous. They don't offer the 10-minute guarantee. You know, if you're not happy, reading can stop. You don't pay. You've made it very reasonable for people. You have the guarantee, and you're humble, vulnerable, down to earth, relatable. I have a good friend that's had a reading with you, and you just made a difference for her. You did.
Aww, nice.
So thank you for all of that. And I'm sure you continue to learn and grow. And the spirit world, the more authentic you are, the more they'll work with you. So really, thank you for that.
Thank you.
You have spoken, I believe, at IANS, our friends at the International Association for Near-Death Studies, Washington, D.C., I think. Is that where you were?
Yep, this last fall.
Yeah, great. Wonderful. Get your story to as many people. And then you have a chapter in that book that I mentioned. Tell us how that came about.
So very serendipitously, I simply had been reading this long-standing digital magazine called Aspire. And it's just a magazine for women about personal transformation and such. And by this point, I was in the soul course and I was having kind of these meditative experiences with my dad. We would exchange in conversation and he gave me this nudge. You're going to write a book about spiritual transformation. Now, I've yet to do that, but I would love to do that. And I feel at some point I'll know when it's the right time. But as he gave me that nudge, I had this vision about what that might look like. And just a couple days later, the person who puts out that magazine wrote me. She sees a lot of what I had been sharing and stories about my dad and so on and so forth, and asked me if I would like to participate in their anthology. And so I contributed that story called Nature's Way Open about my journey from that moment of passing to growing in belief and really even more so how it really transformed me as a person. Because yes, there's been this beautiful journey of mediumship and all of that, but it's also had a lasting effect on me. I'm the same, have my same values, ethics, personality in many ways, all that stuff. But I like to say it's like I've been given this mountaintop perspective of life. And all of us, when we have stuff that comes up and hard stuff and yucky stuff, or even just watching the news every day, we can get so stuck and mired in our muck, I like to say. And some of that is our emotions. We think that we are our emotions and our personality. That is not who we are at all. Those emotions just come as the result of our experiences, background, culture, all that stuff. We are actually beyond that. And my experiences with my dad allowed me to get to know an aspect of myself that I never knew before. That sounds beautiful, and it is, but it was hard too. There were moments where, and I talk about that in the short story, there are moments where I just felt like, who even am I? And that's hard. I'm lost. I don't know who I am. I don't even know what's happening to me. What I can't make sense of anything anymore. But always in retrospect, all of us, I now understand. My ego, if you will, we all have it. It doesn't go away. But what I identify as me, all those things I said, personality, beliefs, all that stuff, was falling away. And my true soul self that we all have was welling up. And I didn't know what to do with that because that's just not how most of us experience life. We don't go through life knowing our soul self. We go through life as the experience of this. We're not this. And so I shared some of that in that story, but just a start of that. I share a lot more of that now because now it's 4 years later and I understand a lot of that journey better.
Interesting, thinking of the journey. I was just looking out and I've got a ton of oak trees that I can see. And you know, when you think of that journey of the little acorn and what a tremendous drop that is, and scary, right? and then lands on the ground, and then maybe it makes its way. It might get eaten by a squirrel. I get a lot of squirrels. But yeah. It gets covered with earth, and there's wind and cold and freeze and rain, and then it breaks apart. It's a horrific journey, our spiritual journey. And that's what we go through as human beings. But then we trust, we stay present. You know, the sun starts shining on us. And you know, I've got a forest behind me of some pretty mighty oak trees. So I think we know the lesson for each one of us is stay on the path, stay buckled up, and turn within. Why did you call your website naturewayopen.com?
First of all, let me honor that metaphor for a second, because that's really beautiful. I love that. I call it Nature's Way Open for a couple of reasons. Well, one, it was given to me, but it made sense for why. Because we are nature. We are not separate from nature. And what I mean by that is we often see the acorns, the trees, the plants, the bushes as their own separate thing. And we may even value that, but we tend to, as a collective, think we're somehow above that. We're not. It's its own beingness. Yes, we have a superior intellect, if you will, with using the brain. And that's not something that I read and then therefore decided to believe. It's what I felt as a part of the journey. I was being shown from my dad, from those in spirit, from life. I was being shown life. That's what it really was. Life was showing me who it really is. And what I mean by that is I might be on a walk and it's like my environment feels alive. It's not like that so much now, but in that first year, it's truly like, this is alive. This tree is alive. And I'm not like a tree hugger person. It was just showing itself to me. My dad was showing himself to me. Love was showing itself to me. I was showing up for me in new ways. And life was showing itself to me. And then as a part of that, I was understanding that we are all connected. We are all connected. All of us. And one is not more worthy than another. Not at all. We are all divine. We are all worthy. We are all love. We are all already whole at the soul level. And because we're a part of that nature, that was a way for me that it's like nature was opening myself up to me and opening myself up to life in all of the ways that I just shared and opening myself up to love. And then I like to say a lot that our biology as humans dictates how we experience the world. That doesn't mean that's all there is. We're limited by what our biology allows us to see, sense, hear, smell, all that stuff. That doesn't mean that's all there is. So that's why it's Nature's Way Open.
It's beautiful. Naturewayopen.com. It's where you can find Amber. Yeah, just looking outside, and I can't even imagine a tree or a flower looking at another one and saying, oh my gosh, I'm just a peony, and look at that rose over there. It's so perfect. Who am I? We have no idea how beautiful we each are. And I think if we do look at ourselves as part of nature, that we're one of a kind, beautiful, just the way we are, that we'll have a little bit more grace and compassion for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah. With our time left, Amber, what else do you want to talk about? What else is in that heart of yours that you want to share?
Oh, that's a good question. I might have to think for a second. I hope as listeners, not just hear my story, but think about their own journeys, think about the other stories that they may have heard, thinking about themselves. We all can have these experiences. on various levels. We're not all supposed to experience this connectedness, this life, this love, all in the exact same way. But it's a birthright because it's a part of what we're connected to. And so for a long time at first, I was thinking of this as like this thing that just granted me this. And while I say that I know it's a gift of grace because it's a part of my soul path, so I needed to have these experiences, but I've often said I've always believed in miracles. I never thought miracles were for someone like me. But if not you, and probably many of you have thought that, yes, I believe in miracles, but maybe not me, why me? But if not you, then who? What, the important people? Well, what does that mean? You are important. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. And I say that because I, for a long time, didn't think in a weird way. It's so weird to say that I was like, why me? Why do I get to have these experiences? And I now know we all get to have these experiences at various levels and in different ways and in the ways that are going to be right for us, because we are all worthy of love. We are all already loved, no matter what our mistakes have been. And so I really want people to know that. I think a secondary gift of mediumship, or what should be a secondary gift of mediumship, is that hopefully you leave a session not only feeling loved from a loved one, but walking away with something to grow in your own love for yourself and in the knowingness of your worth and the knowingness of the love that is there for you. Because it should be, in a bigger picture, a way to expand all of our consciousness, expand how we view ourselves and how we view others in the world. It's like a secondary gift. So I would ask people to reflect on that. And then let the love in. You got to let the love in. Once it shows up, let it in. Because in that way, you're inviting a conversation with life. You're inviting life to talk to you. You're inviting life to give you more life. You're inviting life to show you that love. And I'm the first person that it took me like an entire year. And if I could sit here and tell you some of the stories of how my dad showed me he really was here, and then I was still needing to be hit over the head. Like, yes, this is real. But at some point, I just had to let the love in. You have to accept it in your heart in order to move forward with more. And so I hope everyone that listens to your show, and probably is a longtime listener of your show, uses everybody's story to bring more love in and allow that to come to you in your own life.
Thank you for that. Now, if I were to ask your dad for a moment of a word or two to share, the dad that raised you, that loved you, that was a police officer, but would be a cowboy, what would he tell people?
What would he tell people here?
Yeah, a little bit of advice. It doesn't have to be a spiritual thing. It could be something learned as you were a kid.
Yes, yes, totally. He would say, don't take it all so seriously. Don't forget to laugh. That's exactly what he would say.
I love that. Don't forget to laugh. Don't take it all so seriously. And oh, don't we take it seriously? We do. And then tomorrow's another day and you forgot all the seriousness from the day before. We can take that 30,000 foot view like we're on an airplane looking down on Earth and just rise above. And we can definitely do that. Amber, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. If I can plug one other little tiny thing, it's not even really myself. I have now a friend that is in the process of producing a documentary, and it's very relevant to this conversation today, called What Every Soul Knows. It's at whateverysoulknows.com. It's coming out later this year. I did participate in that for a short interview, but the reason I bring it up is because it takes all of this conversation that we had here today and talks about how this applies to you, the listener. And so if that's something that you're interested in hearing more about, What Every Soul Knows, whateverysoulknows.com is a great place to wait for more info on all of these topics that we've talked about today.
Oh, thank you very much. Very interesting. I love meeting new people and learning new things. And also, to our listener or viewer, don't forget to turn inside. You got one heck of a powerful soul. You do, but when you're so busy, or I'm so busy because I'm just equally as guilty, we get so busy in our own thoughts and thinking about the past and the future, and ding, you get a text message, all of that. But the magic comes in when we can still our mind. Our consciousness lives far beyond our body. It's proven through experiments of remote viewing, all the near-death experiences where people were 100% out and they're witnessing everything. We are so much more powerful than we know. People don't have to have a near-death experience. You can have some spiritually transformative experiences just by getting used to quieting that mind. They may just be a glimpse, but sometimes that's what it takes to take you from a hope and a faith to believing to absolute knowing. So a reminder, naturesweyopen.com is where you can visit Amber. She is part of the book, Life Reimagined, Women's Stories of Hope, Resilience, and Transformation. And as a reminder, my website is wedontdie.com. If you don't already have a copy of my book, We Don't Die, A Skeptic's Discovery of Life After Death, you can just enter your name and your email address towards the bottom of the page at wedontdie.com. It says you get the first few chapters of the book. The secret is you get the entire book in a PDF form. Chapter 10 is about how to survive grief. And as much as I love all the information in that book, I think it's the most important chapter just to help, because I know what brings so many of us into this conversation is a loved one passing. So once you know the mechanics of grieving and what we can do to help feel better and why things happen the way they do, it does give you some power. So again, that's all at wedontdie.com. So in closing, my name is Sandra Champlain. I'm always so happy to be your host on We Don't Die Radio. I do believe that life is an education for the soul and that your life here is important. So I really want to thank you for listening or for watching, and we'll see you again soon.